live on Racing Radio from 1 p.m. for every day of the Cheltenham Festival 2019, with pundit selections, analysis and race commentaries live and for free. Ken Pitterson will be offering his thoughts from the paddock, with Sir Anthony McCoy and Andrew Thornton also on hand. Plus, we've got a daily £1 million golden race, 3 bet boosts a day, high five and enhanced places across the 4 days. It's all part of Cheltenham Festival 2019 with William Hill.
Welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, and I'm delighted to be joined by Andrew Mount. This week, they are Cheltenham Festival Podcast, and we are going to be looking ahead to day two of the Cheltenham Festival. But before we do, let's get the thoughts of Andrew from what we've seen on day one of the Cheltenham Festival. It's been a rather good day for a certain Willie Mullins.
It has indeed, and we're only 4 races in. It's been a crazy day so far, because Mr. Mullins started off with Classical Dream in the Supreme Novices Hurdle. There was a full start, as there was for the first 3 races on Tuesday, and Classical Dream looked very keen in the early stages. He raced exuberantly with his head almost on the floor, reminding me of a horse called Dancing Paddy, probably before your time, Bobby, who, when he approached his flights, his hurdles or fences, looked like he wasn't going to look up and see them. Such was his low head carriage. But Classical Dream won with an absolute ton in hand, 4.5 lengths the official distance. The second and third were outsiders, both big prices. Thomas Derby 28-1, Itchy Feet third at 25s, both came from well back. So I think given the way he won the race, Classical Dream can be upgraded despite being obviously impressive anyway. So a 6-1 winner of our first, and first blood to Ireland.
Yeah, it certainly was indeed. What's been the highlight from what you've seen so far then?
Well, after the Supreme, of course, we had the Arkle. Mm-hmm. A terrible race for the British, and with Glenn Forcer departing early. My pick in the race, Kolesnikov, also coming down. And Laylaw running no sort of race whatsoever. And it was another Willie Mullins inmate, Duke de Genevres, who won very, very comfortably. This one was winning for the first time for Mullins at Garran Park last time out, when making all over 2.5 miles, cutting back in trip and getting a lead proved no barrier to success. And he's confirmed the promise that he showed on his Irish debut when third to stablemate Next Destination in a Grade 1 hurdle. So another exciting prospect to add to the list for Mr. Mullins.
Talk about the ultimate as well. Beware the Bear was the winner. And we had, shall I say, the horse that finished second was Vintage Clouds, trained in the north by Sue Smith. The horse that finished third was Lakeview Lad, trained by Nick Alexander. For a minute, when I saw Vintage Clouds getting going again under Danny Cook, I thought, you could probably hear me in the racing studio from the department, but I was getting excited.
Bobby,
because
as a northerner born and bred, I'm guessing you did some sort of like combination northern forecast, tricast there. we're getting there excited. No, you're absolutely right. And I did give a positive mention to the fourth, Big River, for Lucinda Russell, because he was by Milan, a sire who's done really well in this race over the years. And previous form in the race has often been significant, and of course Beware the Bear has placed in this race previously. I think that was last year. And what's interesting about Beware the Bear, he tends to only stay on when the race thins out at the business end. He doesn't seem to like being crowded in his races. But Jeremiah McGrath's given him a fantastic ride because he's kept him wide throughout. He's got a clear view of his fences. So he was well backed, 16 to 1, 14 to 1, generally this morning into at an SP of 10 to 1. And he's had enough in reserve to hold off Vintage Clouds by a length and a quarter. One thing worth noticing is that he looked for a breath as though he wanted to duck out at the business end going towards his left. Now, because they've got that false rail in play at Cheltenham to stop that happening, and I think if that wasn't there, then we might have seen an even more sort of fantastical finish than we've had previously today.
And in the champion hurdle, it was a win for JP McManus. Not necessarily the horse we thought would have won the race, though.
Just a bit, Bobby. I mean, if you'd 5 minutes before the race, if you said, right, Apples Jade 7-4, Lorena 2-1 or thereabouts, and Bouvardaire, the dual champion, 3-1, none of the three are going to be in the first three, I'd have probably laughed at you. But
Apples... I was actually thinking that, to be honest with you. I just kept it to myself.
No, Apples Jade was never comfortable at the head of affairs, probably going a shade quicker than she's used to, where she's a winning three-miler on more than one occasion. And, although she'd cut back to win impressively at over 2 miles at Leopardstown last time out, she did beat another three-miler into second in the shape of Super Sunday. So going that shade quicker back at this trip, taken on for the lead by Mellon, who was running another good race for Willie Mullins in the first time cheek pieces. She was never comfortable. Bouvardaire fell fairly early. And then Lorena travelled well early on, but her first run against male opponents today. And she was lacking at the finish. Now, my each-way pick in the race, I put up as my nap on the gg.co.uk preview night a couple of weeks ago, Silver Streak. Mm. A general sort of 100 to 180 to one shot earlier on today has come through there as well, looking briefly dangerous. Has managed to just lose out to second Mellon, runner-up in the race for two, yeah, the second year in a row. But Silver Streak's run an absolute blinder for Evan Williams. And that was good to see for the for my followers on Gigi.
Now, at this point of the podcast, Andrew, we normally ask the pundit, in this case it is yourself, to give us your selections, two selections ahead of the following day's racing. However, because it's Cheltenham, do you think we should make an exception and go through the whole card?
Yeah, we should have a brief look at tomorrow's racing, because we've got so many good races. It's hard to find two, yeah, of the seven.
I'll tell you what then, we'll start then with the first race on the card, obviously going off at 1:30. This is the Ballymore, and at the time of recording, Champ is 9-4, 7-2 for Battle of Doyen, 8-1 bar the two. Out of the two I've just mentioned, are you going for either of those, or are you going with something else at a price?
Yeah, I'm very keen on Battle of Doyen here, mm-hmm, who's unbeaten in four starts. Now, if you're a regular listener to William Hill Radio, and you've heard me talking about grade one hurdles, I often mention how hard it is to win a maiden hurdle and, mm-hmm, then go make the transition to grade one hurdle winner in a single step. It's very rare for a maiden hurdle winner to do that in one go. Now, because Classical Dream won his maiden hurdle and then was a grade one winner next time out. Battle Over Doyen also managed to pull off that rare feat when winning at Nace last time out. So he marked himself down as a high-class individual as a result, and I think he's going to take the beating here ahead of Champ. Now, Champ, of course, won the Cello Hurdle. Mm-hmm. Cello Hurdle winners don't have the greatest record in this contest. I hope to defy that with Rev de Civiller, a horse I part-owned going back to 2010, and after hitting the front, he was collared by Peddler's Cross after trading very short in running.
So it's
not the easiest thing to do, even with the ground in his favour. So I'm with Battle Over Doyen here.
So Battle Over Doyen to win the Ballymore. The second race on the card is the RSA. Do you think it's going to be another win over the large obstacles for Delta Work?
I don't, actually, because now Delta Work is described as very idle by his trainer Gordon Elliott. And if you look at his best efforts, they all seem to have come after a very recent run within a month. When he's been off the track for longer than a month, he's won just once from five starts, and that was when odds on for his reappearance this season. Mm-hmm. And he really had to battle to win by three quarters of a length that day. He's been off the track for 74 days. I think that might be a little bit too long for him as well. And so I'm not convinced by Delta Work, particularly at the price. You know, fair play to you if you're on Anti-Post at flashy odds, but not for me. So I'm going to take him on with Mr. Malarkey, the Reynoldstown Chase winner. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a horse who, trained by Colin Tizard, who's really improved since stepped up in trip. And so that Ascot Grade 2 win was preceded by a handicap win at Newbury over 3 miles. And before that, a third at the same venue. So I think there's still plenty more to come from this one, particularly given a stiffer test of stamina. And I think we could get a little bit of a shock here with Mr. Malarkey, 16-1 with us at William Hill at the time of this recording.
250 is the Kohler Cup, and at the time of recording as well, Eurodale heads the market at 5-1 for William Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Of course, Eurodale back up in trip for the Coral Cup on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, typically difficult renewal. Eric LaRouge was quite interesting here for Jane Williams. Has won four in a row now, but keeps winning narrowly, and I think there's plenty more left in the locker. The slight downside would be that he tends to be ridden prominently, not always the right running style for this race. Now, one I will put up as an interesting one is a five-year-old Dancing on My Own. A son of Milan. Now, Henry de Bromhead's charge was running up against Classical Dream last time out in Grade 1 company at Leopardstown over 2 miles. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Classical Dream beat Aramon into second in that race. Aramon also ran well in the Supreme on Tuesday. So maybe on handicap debut, Dancing on My Own can give that Classical Dream form a little bit of a boost. He was just over 7 lengths behind that one when a 20-1 fourth in that Grade 1 at Leopardstown. And if the step up in trip and switch to handicap company brings about improvement, then Dancing on My Own could be the one to throw a few quid each way at in a typically trappy renewal.
And in the Queen Mother Champion Chase, my question for you here is, who finishes second and third?
Well, after what we've seen in the Champion Hurdle, I think the concept of a banker has to be questioned. Now, of course, Altior is an absolute machine. He's he's unbeaten. He's wonderful, but he did hit a flat spot in this race last year, and there is always the chance that as a 9-year-old now, that maybe he's not as good as he once was, and he's getting perhaps slightly quirky. He did sort of jump out to his left at when winning last time out, although he's on a left-handed track again, and at 1-3, the current price, I'd have to back something each way. And now, what is interesting is that the one I went for without the favourite in each way last year was another son of Milan, and that's Ordinary World for Henry de Bromhead. Now, I would have preferred quicker ground for this one, but it's interesting to note that he was a massive price in this race last year, and he did run a race full of promise. He was eventually fifth to Altior at 40-1. After meeting with trouble and sort of fading at the business end. And but I think, another year behind him, maybe Ordinary World, who's got plenty of form with Min and Altior previously, could give us a run for our money from an each-way perspective. So I'm hoping he can do what Silver Streak did, hunt round at the back of the field, be ridden for a place, and come through and maybe grab third. So it's Ordinary World each way for me, or without the favourite.
After the Champion Chase, it is the Cross Country going off at 4:10. At the time of recording, Tiger Roll is the even money favourite here. Can he win it for a second consecutive year?
Yeah, very probably. Yeah, Grand National winner. What a fantastic horse he's been. But I think, with 16 runners, you're going to have to look for something each way here against the even money favourite. I can pass on a good word for Eugène de Grigène, the French raider. And Lizzie Kelly was very pleased with the way T4-2 worked over this course recently. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a sort of small stakes each way race for me here, and I'll go with Eugène de Grigène.
The Boodles Juvenile Handicap, formerly known as the Fred Winter, is the penultimate race on the card here. At the time of recording, Bound of Outlaws is the 5-1 market leader. Lethal Steps 8-1, 10-1 bar the 2. Bound of Outlaws, then, is he going to record win number 3 on the bounce?
Well, interesting stats here, because has tended to happen in the Fred Winter in recent years, is that horses show their ability in their early hurdle start, winning first or second time out, and then they tend to be given a patient ride in a better race, one that perhaps they can't win, or perhaps they've been sort of campaigned in with their handicap mark in mind. And in the last 8 years, horses have finished first, second or third last time out are something like 1 from 127 in the Fred Winter.
Okay.
So, and again, 6 of the last 7 winners were priced between 25 to 1 and 40 to 1. So you really need to look a little bit closer than the last time out form figures for this race. So a couple that stuck out, Fox Pro for Jane Williams, who's making his British debut after 3 runs in France and winning one of those. And so he was 6th last time out. And so he would say so certainly be, one to consider. And perhaps Our Power for Alan King as well. So it's typically tricky and trappy renewal. Bear in mind that outsiders have done very well in this race in recent years, so I'll be looking to throw a couple of arrows away from the head of the market, headed by Fox Pro at 25 to 1.
And the final race on Wednesday is a horse race I particularly look forward to at the Cheltenham Festival, and I've loved this race ever since Q Card bolted up in it back in 2010. That is the Champion Bumper going off at 5:30, and Blue Sari is the 3 to 1 market leader here for Willie Mullins and Barry Geraghty and for JP McManus.
Yeah, that's the important thing, JP McManus. Now, of course, Willie Mullins traded this one to win by 11 lengths on his debut. Wasn't favourite that day, surprisingly, given the nature of the victory. Now, wasn't owned by JP when winning that contest. He had the runner-up, Front View, trained by Joseph O'Brien. But he was impressed enough to part with a few quid to buy this horse. Mm-hmm. And he's reportedly struck a big bet on Blue Sari as well, so you'd have to respect that. And it's Willie Mullins' only runner in the race as well, which is likely also to be significant. Now, I'll certainly have Blue Sari on my radar. But I'm also interested in a horse called the Glancing Queen for Alan King. Now, this one was the winner of her sole point-to-point start, and on her rules debut she was put straight into listed company here at Cheltenham on the old course on good ground, and she won at 16 to 1. Now next time she's gone to Ascot, another listed bumper, and she's ruined her chance by racing round the inside where the ground was much slower, as it has been all year at Ascot on the hurdles course. So to finish third that day mocks her up as one to follow for me. So although one or two people were disappointed by that, she was a shorter price than the two horses who beat her, I think she was better than she looked judged on that effort. So it's going to be split stakes between Blue Sari and the Glancing Queen for me here.
And if your nap at the festival has not run already, so if it's not running on Tuesday, what is the Mountie nap at the festival?
I think on day 3, I'd certainly go for Battle Over Doyen. So any horse that can win a maiden hurdle and then win a Grade 1 hurdle next time out is high class. We've seen Classical Dream do that in the first race today, and I think it's going to be Battle Over Doyen to repeat that feat.
Andrew, as always, thank you very much for your time. Great to have you here on the Daily Racing Podcast, which we're calling the Cheltenham Festival Racing Podcast here at William Hill. Don't forget to tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on Wednesday afternoon. They're live from 1 p.m. You can hear every race live on Racing Radio, and it will be another cracking day's racing. What we're going to do now, though, we're going to hear from two former jockeys who have previewed the races for us also on Wednesday. So here's Andrew Thornton and Sir AP McCoy.
Day 2 of Cheltenham, AP. What do you pick, Ballymore Properties?
I have to go with Champion. Been very impressive so far this season. Won the Challow Hurdle last time, so Champion the first for me.
I like Battle of Doyen. Second race is the RSA. I'm a big fan of Delta Work.
Yeah, me too. It was very impressive last time in Leopardstown. He won the Drinmore. He beat Larisburg that day. He won last year at the Cheltenham Festival, and I think he'll win here too.
And finally, we've got the Champion Chase. It's all about Altio.
Yeah, definitely. Martin Pipe said once, what's a good horse look like? One that's got a lot of ones beside his name. He's got 17 beside his name. He'll have 18 after the Champion Chase.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.
William Hill Racing Radio is now available on your smart speaker. Just tell it to play Racing Radio via TuneIn and leave the rest to us. William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.